Through two games, many people, coaches, players, fans, people in the media have numerous questions about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Here we are on this Monday evening, live on YouTube and on Twitter to discuss all of those things. I am Jay Stevens here with Bo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network, going to dive into what we have learned and how to fix some of the problems the Ohio State Buckeyes currently have.
On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And with me today is a gentleman I have done numerous shows with, his first time here on Locked On Buckeyes. It is Mo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network. Mo, how you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I could be a lot better if this was a Victory Monday kind of thing here on Locked On Buckeyes, but I appreciate you for having it. This is a show all strictly Buckeyes. I've been looking forward to getting on this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm happy you're here. Happy we're able to dive into what we have learned, positive, good, bad, and ugly, about this Ohio State Buckeye football team. Any football team, you can't go anywhere without looking at the quarterback. And redshirt freshman quarterback C.J. Stroud, back-to-back Big Ten Freshman of the Week after a win on the road against Minnesota and after a loss at home against the Oregon Ducks. Many people have looked at him and said, wow, he has played amazing. But can he get better? How have you viewed the play of C.J. Stroud through two games so far?
I think he's played well. I think the stats will make him look like he's played a lot better. If you go back to the Minnesota game, statistically he looked like he played really well, but we do know there were, what, three big plays made by his receivers on short throws that, you know, kind of enhanced his stats a little bit. His in-the-air yards wasn't very high. And then even in the Oregon game, that slow start, I mean, to struggle through the whole first half, and then have a, you know, a huge second half. Playmakers were making plays all through, all over the field. It looked great, but I just think that that's two slow starts in a row from our offense. And obviously, it starts with the quarterback trying to throw the ball. We weren't able to run against Oregon, so having to be able to throw the ball and only put up 7 points in this deadly offense that we have, two first-round wide receivers, it's still a little cause of concern. Like, I thought after he settled in against Minnesota, like, okay, he's going to be rolling for the rest of the season. But a slow start offensively is a cause of concern, because that's where we unquestioned have playmakers everywhere. And it starts with C.J. Stroud. He's got to be able to get the ball, throwing it a little high at times, not putting it where the receivers want it. You could tell there was some frustration every once in a while because he throws it too high. And then he ends up throwing a dart, and you're very impressed. But I think we could get some better play from C.J. Stroud.
I think so, too. I think we can get better play from Stroud. I think he can get better play from a lot of guys. I think some of the things that we have seen on offense, play calling wise, are some things that can assist Stroud and be a better quarterback. He's young, only started two games, played a little bit last year, a few plays here and there, but nothing consistently. And so far through two games, we can be ultra critical. But I try to be positive, and I think we have seen some building block type of plays from him so far this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, it's not to kill him. Like, he never threw a pass prior to this year. So, granted, he is a sophomore, essentially playing. He has the amount of experience as a true freshman, other than being within the system and learning the system. So, I don't want to be too hard on him. Obviously, you wouldn't be as hard on him in a win as much as you would be in a loss. But, like, it's just, I don't know. Part of it is just C.J. Stroud, he's playing really good, but I think we've been spoiled. We talked about it offline. That's what it goes to. We've been spoiled more so with having Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins for the past 3 years. Obviously, Dwayne Haskins had an elite year. Justin Fields is elite both with his legs and with his arm. A clear cut, probably one of the best quarterbacks Ohio State has ever had. And so I think with that, we're looking at C.J. Stroud, and we're kind of looking at him, especially coming off of Justin Fields, we're looking at him as the next Justin Fields, and that's not a fair comparison.
No, it's not. How do you think we talk about the receivers? What about the running backs behind him? Have they helped him? Have they aided him? Have they hindered his success early on? Could they get better? How do you view the running backs?
It's a tale of two games. They looked great against Minnesota, looked bad against Oregon. We couldn't get the running game going. I'm surprised because we were supposed to have this prestige offensive line. So I'm surprised that we weren't able to dominate the line of scrimmage, especially with Thibodeau, you know, and Justin Flo being out. Like, I thought that was like, okay, now we're going to punish Oregon in the trenches. Typically, that's what Ohio State does to most teams they play anyway. So I definitely thought Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson were going to have like another big time performance. They reminded me against Minnesota a lot of like the up and coming of Ezekiel Elliott and J.K. Dobbins, big athletic, versatile guys, both of them. So they have the size, they run low to the ground, they hit holes hard. So I expected a lot more from them against Oregon. I think they'll help eventually, but it was also like last year, our run game started off slow. And then, boom, like the last four games, you know, in a shortened season, but the last four games, Trey Sermon went crazy and looked like a viable NFL running back. But it did start off slow the same way. And I think it's just because we don't have – none of those guys are Zeke. None of those guys are J.K. Dobbins. Like, we tend to – I've started to realize, especially after this loss, how spoiled we are as Ohio State fans.
Absolutely.
Running back, quarterback, receivers. Like, we are very spoiled at certain positions, especially the running back room, and especially lately – the quarterback room. So it's just one of those, like, now you take a step back and be like, kind of get brought back to reality. Maybe the playoffs isn't in the future for us this season.
We're going to hit that very quickly. Do you think that this team can, with Stroud playing the way that he is and getting better and the team as a whole getting better, do you think that the playoffs are out of the question? I want to hit that since you hit it now. I was going to save it for later in the show, but you brought it up. Ohio State, one loss, it, to me, is not out of the playoff picture, but maybe to some people it is.
It's not out of the playoff picture, but now they don't control their own destiny. And that's the biggest thing. That's the difference what separates, what to me makes college football a little more exciting than the NFL on a weekly basis. One loss changes the whole dynamic and the outlook of your season. Ohio State is now 1-1, and we're like holding on to the ropes by the ropes for the rest of the season. We have to win out. We need certain teams to lose. We need things to happen for us in order to make it to the playoffs. And that's just, we're only in week two. Like, there's plenty of games, plenty of upsets that could happen, but we're panicking for the simple fact we don't control our own destiny. We beat Oregon, we know all we have to do is win every game, and we're in. Win the Big Ten Championship, and we're in. Now, not only do we have to do that, but we need certain other teams to lose. Us and Clemson, through 2 weeks, are in the same boat where now we don't control our own destiny, and we're two programs who, as of late, are almost playoff locks. So now it's like in panic, and it's like you don't want that to become a new normal, because for some teams, they have their glory. And then like, that's it. They had some glory years, 2 to 3 years. With Ohio State, Clemson, even Alabama, they've been very consistent as far as making it to the playoffs. So one loss this early in the season, you know, like, it's going to take a lot more to build back up. Just thank God that in the AP rankings, Ohio State didn't drop out of the top 10.
All right, college football fanatics. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you could think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you could think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money. When using Rock Auto, why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably, low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're going to hit a question that Shane Carter just hit. We're going to do that here in a second, but we're going to go right to the defense here, Mo. The biggest problem in your eyes on the defense is what?
God, our linebackers and not being able to get pressure on the quarterback. That's something that we are not used to. If one thing, last year we kind of struggled on our run defense, stepped up obviously big against Clemson, but we were always able to apply pressure on the quarterback. That's 2 weeks in a row. Now, last week we made a big play on defense to kind of change the game. But that Anthony Brown had all day in the pocket, which is why he was able to make plays. He didn't even have to extend a lot of plays with his feet. He just had all day to throw. And my biggest concern is the fact that Zach Harrison was supposed to be it. He was supposed to be that guy coming into the season. He's a first-round draft pick coming out defensive end. We knew he was never Chase Young or either of the Bosa brothers, but we still expected to look like a first-round pick. And so we expected, like, he's at least one guy that could get to the quarterback. And, like, we're not doing a good job of that. Something, like I said, another position group that we're spoiled. And then linebackers, because typically we've had at least a decent linebacker core, some at times very elite, but at least decent that when a running back gets to the second level, it ends there. Not many times running the ball do they get to that third level, get to the DBs. But now that our DBs aren't as great. Like they're breaking through to the linebackers. We have a running back playing linebacker. That had to be a cause of concern. That was my concern against Minnesota. When I saw him steal Chambers playing linebacker, mm-hmm. That has to be a concern for you. We have a running back playing defensive back. Like that has to be a concern for you that these skill position guys go to the other side of the ball after already having played for Ohio State for a couple of years. So that's a cause of concern. And our linebacker not being able to stop anything at the second level, they're not fast. They're not great. Like this is the worst linebacker core I've probably ever seen at Ohio State. I hate to be this harsh, at least that I've seen in my lifetime.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and go and do something I wasn't planning on doing, because you look at the defensive rotations at linebacker, defensive rotations as a whole on defense, and so many guys are playing. I've wondered what the evaluation process was like in the offseason for games one and game number two. You're playing so many different guys to the point that in game one, you're not starting the same guys at linebacker that you were in game number two. And I mentioned this to you very quickly off air. I'm going to mention this now. At the beginning of Saturday's game against Oregon, I look out there and I see Tommy Eichenberg. Not a bad player. I'm not saying Tommy's a bad player. He got exposed for some things that he does on the field that when you're not playing a lot, you're playing a couple games, you're going to get exposed very quickly. And I wonder why he was on the field so much. I mean, it was clear that Oregon saw, we're playing off of him. We know what he might do. Whatever he is, we're reading. We're going to use him as a read type of guy. If he goes to the right, we're going to go right where he was. If he goes to the left, we're going to have plays that exploit his holes. I audibly said, why is Eichenberg in the game to start the game? First play on defense, I expected Cody Simon, Taraja Mitchell to start at linebacker in this game. Eichenberg started. Not saying that was entirely his fault why the defense played that way, but honestly, I'm kind of confused as to the evaluation process in the offseason for defense. We don't see this on offense. We know the hierarchy at the wide receiver. We know the hierarchy at tight end and offensive line. At running back in the first game, we saw four different running backs in the first four series and then realized who the hierarchy was going to be, the pecking order there. For some reason, I'm questioning and wondering what is the evaluation process like on defense, specifically the linebacker position, because so many guys playing makes me wonder if the evaluation process was good in the offseason or if the coaches are as confused as we are about who the best – no, excuse me. We might know who the best guys are. I'm curious about when they evaluate guys, if they know who the best guys are and when they will consistently play those best guys.
Yeah, that's a cause of concern. And like you said, you know, you had mentioned it multiple times off air, but the simple fact that we are not having a consistent lineup out there, something else we're not used to. Like, we are seeing things with Ohio State that's not normal for us. So like I said, it comes off as spoiled fans and everything like that. But this is not normal for us, not knowing who our linebackers are, not knowing who our defensive ends are. We have, you know, Ryan Sims says, should we play JTT and Sawyer more? 100%. Like, Zach Harrison isn't doing the job. When I watch the Buckeyes, I don't care about draft stock. I don't care if Zach Harrison getting less time ruins what he does in the NFL. Win games for Ohio State, be great in the NFL. That's what I always – but when you are an Ohio State player first. What you do for Ohio State, Matt, I don't care where you fall in the draft stock. And if you don't want to play, you lose your position, you want to, then that's fine. But I think that some of the freshmen, at least they might have bad habits, but it doesn't matter. Like, they can't be worse. Jack Sawyer was the number one player in the country. Like, you can't tell me in putting him – he is, you know, he's higher rated than Bosa. Like, either the Bosa brothers or Chase Young coming out of high school. So, for him, like, that has to mean something. He can't do worse, any worse. You can't tell me that he can't get pressure on the quarterback and he can't do any worse. And the only thing is, coming up next week, we're not going to get a fair evaluation of guys. We're probably going to see who's going to earn the playing time from here on out, because, you know, every game our season is on the line, essentially. But I just don't see it. Like next week, we play Akron, if I'm not mistaken.
Tulsa Saturday, and then the following week it's Akron.
That's okay. So it's not gonna be a fair evaluation against Tulsa and Akron over the next 2 weeks. But at the same time, like, we're gonna see who's gonna play for the rest of the season, because once it comes to conference play, every game matters, and there's some really good teams out there. So we need to know who our lineup is gonna be on defense, because we had our wide receiver rotation, we picked our quarterback, we know who our offensive linemen are. We've moved Master Teague. We had no problem putting Master Teague as the third string running back, essentially. So I don't see why the defense – and I think all eyes are on Kerry Combs. Like, he's in the hot seat. I hate to say it, but he's in the hot seat just as bad as any head coach. You just saw a head coach at USC get fired today. So, like, to think that Kerry Combs isn't one loss away from losing his job or definitely gone at the end of the season, I think it's a very high possibility.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, your online sports book experts. I'm going to hit something that one of the listeners or viewers on YouTube just said. He said, Zach is a bust. Thinking about Zach Harrison, I don't use the bust word very lightly or very loosely or easily. I have been critical of Zach Harrison for a very specific reason. At Ohio State, you know, going into the Minnesota game, I praised him for plays in the run game that he did very, very well. In the Oregon game, I also went at him just a tad because I didn't like some things that I saw from him on defense. I didn't like how on the boundary, a lot of those, I think two of the rushing touchdowns that they had, left side that Verdell had, I think the one that the other running back had, I want to say Potter was his last name. He ended up having one. I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste was the defensive end. But Oregon realized if we read Zach Harrison, if we have the tackle come down the line, he's going to take an extra or two steps down the line instead of setting the edge or staying on the outside. We're just going to run right around him. In the NFL, pass rush is great. But if you can't be a guy that sets the edge and stops the run, these coaches are going to be like, bro, okay, we know what we've heard a lot about you. We're going to put you into the fire and see exactly what's going on. I think people are seeing right now, questioning and wondering when we will see, if we'll see the best of, or have we seen the best of Zach Harrison? I don't know. It's a long season left in front of us. But something has to change. You're a leader. You were at Big Ten Media Days this year. One of three players, Mo, representing your football team. And this is what we've seen through two games. He hasn't played horrible. Not like he's played tragic. But there are times when you're being the guy that's being read, Oregon realizes we can go right there. He'll leave us a hole, and we'll exploit that hole that he leaves open for us.
And that's – see, the thing is like having experience reading the defensive end, you know, playing having played quarterback in high school and everything like that. Is when you read the defense, it's all run pass options are all about the defensive end. Zach Harris, if you go back and watch the play, he played it the same way.
Yes.
Four times that play was ran. He didn't, like you said, he didn't set the edge and force him inside. He went at an angle, went towards the end. All you had to do was run around. Mm-hmm. And that's how you read it. Anthony Brown did a great job of reading it, and so did Verdell, because he didn't force him on the inside and make him get up through the line of scrimmage in the trenches. Allowed somebody as versatile as CJ Verdell to get on the outside. That's where Oregon's going to eat. The thing is, Ohio State, when we play in the Big Ten, we are faster than everybody. We met somebody, even without their two best defenders, that matched us physically and speed. They were just as good as us on the outside, and they were just as good as us on the inside, and that's without their two best defensive players. Now, mind you, if we really wanted to pick this game apart, we were a couple of plays away from really actually having an opportunity to blow Oregon out. But you also would say, if Thibodeau and Lowe play, that their defense is even more dominant and we don't do anything. So it goes vice versa. It just depends on if you put your Oregon cap on and see how much better they could have played, or if you put your Ohio State cap on and see how much better they could have played. But a couple of plays made the difference on us not blowing Oregon out, and instead we sit here and lose a game and don't control the destiny for the rest of the season.
Mo, as weird as the defense was in that game, with the offense being the way that it was, CJ Stroud threw an interception and he overthrew a ball. And throwing the interception was, I mean, if he doesn't throw the interception, we have a chance to move the ball down the field. Ohio State could have won the game. So if we're talking about a win based off some things that happened later in the game, we're still being critical of the defense and the offense. But I think our conversation might be a tad different today based off how things went, based off how things have gone. Very last thing here, Mo, I want to hit very quickly. What can be done to fix the team's problems? You can go offense or defense. I have a thought that I think hasn't been talked about very much, but I'll let you go first.
To fix the problem, I mean, we got to be more adamant about getting the run game going. And I think C.J. Stroud has to show that he's a willing runner. Because even we talk about, like, we've been spoiled at quarterback play, but we talk about how our offense is ran. A lot of cross routes and run pass option. That's what we eat off of. Fields was able to do it. As unathletic running-wise as Dwayne Haskins was, he was able to keep the defense honest by running the ball. C.J. Stroud escapes the pocket. If Haskins seen 5 yards, he'll get his 5 yards. And he was a big body. Cardale Jones was the same way. They weren't the fastest. They weren't going to beat you with their feet. But if you're going to give them 5 or 6 yards and they'll use their size to get an extra 2 to 3, C.J. Stroud's not doing that. How many? We saw, 4 or 5 rushes, 1 yard? You had 5 to 6 yards, but you're already heading to the sideline. Like, there's no chance. I don't think there's any type of elusiveness in C.J. Stroud. And it's crazy because we saw Justin Fields. Like I said, when we watched Dwayne Haskins, it wasn't about being elusive, but he would take what the defense gave him. Stroud doesn't, at least with his feet. He does not take what the defense gives him. I think he needs to keep the defense honest because we have too much of a wide receiver room, too loaded of weapons. I think the run game just needs to stick to it for a little bit. We'll get it going. Like, our running backs, our offensive line is too good not to get it going. But you can't, like, after a play, they're doing it similar to one of my NFL teams that I love. You one play gets stopped. All right, we're going to the pass game. We're done with the run game. They stopped it for this drive. It's over. Do our winning recipe. We get running, and then our quarterback still can throw for 300 to 400 yards. That's just – but we get the run game going, keep them honest. We're not even keeping them honest on play actions anymore. And CJ, he just – I think he has to move around with his feet. Like, he has to show, I'm willing to run. I'm willing to take those 5 to 6 yards, because defenses weren't playing his feet because he never gave them a reason to. So they were playing off, and then they'll kind of act like they're going to play up. He just runs out of bounds. Like, that's what he does. I'm not saying take hits, but show us that you're willing to just run the ball. Get us 5 or 6 yards instead of none. Instead of throwing it away, get us those 5 or 6 yards that Justin Fields would have got us, that Dwayne Haskins would have got us, Cardale Jones, JT Barrett. Like, we could go all the way back to about 07, 08 is like the last time I remember having a quarterback where I'm like, he's not even a threat at all on his feet. But ever since then, we've had guys who are that kind of threat and at least make you honest. When he escapes the pocket, you fear him escaping the pocket. Show some type of that, because I don't think his arm is Dwayne Haskins elite, where he can just sling it all over the field and kill a defense that way.
I want to ask you a question before I give you what I think could help, or a couple of things that could help the teams as a whole. One, and this is coming from Abe Griggs on YouTube. I've also seen this on Twitter, and people have actually tweeted at me with this very, very thing. Was last game the game to play Master Teague more, and do you think Master Teague should be a part of a three-headed monster, not a two-headed monster, for the Ohio State running backs?
Yes, he should have played more. Think about what multiple third and ones, third and two, fourth and two, turnover on downs that we didn't put our biggest body. That's essentially like back in the day, ask why is Mike Allstott not in the game on fourth and two and you're handing it to anybody. That's what Master Teague is to our offense. Like, you would question a Bucs team that didn't. Why is Mike Allstott not even in the game on third and one, fourth and two? That just doesn't make sense. I think Master Teague being that big body, they wouldn't have been able to match his physicality. That's what he's not an East and West guy. He's not versatile. He is North and South. He drops his head. He is a rolling ball that runs downhill. That's what he does. So he definitely should have played more. But it's tough to say, should he be a part of a three-head monster? Only because, like, how many more games? We're going to start seeing guys who match us physically but don't match us speed-wise. So how many more games is Master Teague where we really think he'd be effective? Because I think when it comes to Big Ten football, they match our physicality, but Ohio State beats them because athletically we outdo everybody in the Big Ten. So I don't necessarily see a lot more opportunities where we're going to look and say, that should have been the game. Master Teague should have got majority of the touches or played. So that's – but for the Oregon game, 100%, he definitely should have been at third and one, fourth and two, whatever, because we handed it off to running backs on multiple occasions. Why Master Teague never really got a shot on those, being as big as he is and as strong? We've seen him push for 4 or 5 yards with nothing, like made 4 or 5 yards out of nothing. So he definitely should have played a lot more in the Oregon game. And I'm starting to be a little concerned because it just sucks. Like, he's coming off an injury, seemed healthy, but now, like, it looks like we're not going to see much of Master Teague this year.
Yeah, it is weird. He is a guy that short yardage, not as big as Mike Allstott, but in college football, he could be utilized greatly in the short yardage game. A couple things I think could be used to help fix the team's problems right now. One, it's kind of simple. Just play the best guys on defense. Actually, put the best guys on the field. Let's just think simple. Put the best guys on the field and let them cook. Let them get into a groove. Don't play them for a series. Take them out. Don't play them for three plays. Take them out. Let them play. Let them get into a groove and roll with it. I think Jeff Hunt ended up making a comment about Denzel Burke has a high ceiling. I like what I've seen from Denzel Burke. And Anthony Brown didn't really test Denzel Burke second half. I think he tested him early, but he realized this true freshman is that dude. He's a dog, and I'm not trying to go that way anymore. Another thing that I truly think would help this team, Ryan Day learning how to trust the kickers. Mo, when you got fourth and two or fourth and one, you're like on your 30 or 25, and you can make a field goal, and all of a sudden you're going for it. I question what you know about your kickers and how much you trust the kickers. Guys that I have heard that were inconsistent in the offseason, one guy, a grad transfer, who was inconsistent in his last season that he played consistently, which was in 2019, Noah Ruggles, I think only kicked one kick last year. Forget if it was an extra point or a field goal. But you got to find a way. If you got to put your punter in there to kick field goals, go for it. But you got to find a way to trust your kickers. If Ohio State kicks 3 field goals in that game and changes the trajectory of the offensive game plan for Oregon, it's a different ball game. But you got to trust your kickers. And, Mo, you have to play. Imagine this. You're a coach at a high school. And all of a sudden, you're playing sophomores, not your juniors and seniors who are the better players, to prepare for the future. You're going to have not just your parents, who I know Ryan Day's not really, he's going to hear something from the parents, but he's worried about, what will my boss say? What will, like, the people above me say? The guy that sends me that check, what will they say? You need to play your best guys. I don't care what level it is. You need to play your best guys, because if you're not playing your best guys, Oregon's one thing. But Ohio State still has Penn State. They still got Michigan on their schedule. And they still have teams that are lesser talented, but they still look at Ohio State as the gold standard, and they're going to give them their best shot. Playing their best guys, Mo, to me, is the easiest way to consistently change the play and alter how fans and people like us view how Ohio State is playing right now.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks should be spent on that. If you're rotating guys or whatever to figure out once going into conference play, what your lineup is going to be moving forward. I'm okay with that. Especially in these blowout games or supposed to be blowout games coming in next 2 weeks. That's what you want to see. That's when you work on stuff. You try things, you figure out like, okay, this is what the rest of our season is going to look like. So I expect to see some shifts, but what I don't expect is coming out of the Akron game. I don't expect us to make really any changes from there on out. Whoever, if we want to look at our quarterbacks to see if anybody gives us a better chance, okay, I'm okay with that. I like C.J. Stroud, and I think once you pull him, he's done. Like, I think he's a transfer at Ohio State. I think that's just period, point blank. But I'm okay with letting Kyle McCord get some time when it's a blowout, letting Jack Miller play a little bit in the second half. Maybe let C.J. Stroud play the whole first half and let these guys just get some time. Because if C.J. Stroud goes down, let's just be realistic, if a quarterback goes down, like, we don't want to have to put in a Kyle McCord or Jack Miller who has – all guys never thrown a college pass to come in and save the rest of our season when we're hanging on a limb and we don't control our own destiny. We don't want guys who have never thrown a pass. So I think over these next 2 weeks, you do need to make sure that. And like you said, on defense, the best players need to play. Like, and you remember we talked about Tyler Friday being out. And if you really know, it's not like, it may not seem like the biggest injury because it's not the biggest name. We are missing him. Like, he is a guy we are missing. I think he would step up big. I think you would hear his name called a lot on Saturdays and maybe never hear his name called on Sundays. And that's okay. But he would be a vet guy. Like, I think he would be a missing piece. Like, get the guys going. He's been there. He's played at the national championship with Ohio State. He's won the big games. He's been on the big stage. He's lost. He knows what it feels like. So I think we are missing a guy like him. I think that's a big thing. But I think after these next 2 weeks, we need to know what our lineup looks like on both sides of the ball, and we need to have a consistent game plan, and that's what we need to run with through conference play, and you need to live or die by it. Don't start changing in shambles. But I saw Ryan Day and Kerry Coleman. It looked like they were in shambles against Oregon. It's the worst coach game I've ever seen Ohio State play in some years. It's been a long time since I've seen us be out-coached. Usually we don't lose being out-coached. That doesn't happen that often.
No, it does not. Mo, this has been a lot of fun. Very glad you could come on here on Locked On Buckeyes, this live show on a Monday evening on YouTube and on Twitter as well. I've mentioned it. We're going to do this a whole lot more, not just post-game shows, but also some throughout the week as well to get a little bit more live interaction. For those of you that have commented, thank you. For those of you that have watched and tuned in live, thank you as well. Mo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network, can you let everyone know where they can catch you on Twitter, or as well as where they can catch your show and some things the Off the Ball Network has going on right now?
You can follow me at Up in Flames Pod on Twitter, Instagram, UP capital N, Flames ends with a Z pod on Twitter, Instagram, or Mo underscore Cheese15 on Twitter, Instagram. Also, that's my personal account. I'm active on both. You can listen to Up in Flames Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, on Dash Radio every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. And then as far as the network goes, man, we got Overreaction Monday coming. See you Sundays every Saturday. It's football season. It's ramped up. You know, if you love this, obviously Jay does great work on Locked On Buckeyes. Also, make sure to go check out our guy Jeff Hunt with the Buckeyes Remix, another great Buckeyes show to get realistic, great Buckeyes content once again from a different perspective other than us two. That's another one to look forward to. Jeff's Power Rank has come out every week. His playoff rank has come out every week. So there's a lot of things going on. Kenneth, you know, we got betting stuff going on, articles, bets on bets on bets every Sunday for anybody who loves betting on the NFL. So that's what we have going on the network as a whole. But Jay, I appreciate you for having me on here, bro.
Yes, sir, Mo. This has been fun. We'll have you back on again down the road. You guys can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. This is a Monday evening live on YouTube and Twitter. We're going to be doing this a whole lot more, so make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Just search Locked On Buckeyes, hit that subscribe button and that bell so you're notified every time a new video is uploaded and every time this show or this podcast goes live. Guys, let's have fun. Let's enjoy the Monday evening. Tuesday, if you're catching this on the podcast feed. And let's just remember, Ohio State Buckeyes, the football team is talented. I believe they will get better. And we can always look forward to Saturday when the Buckeyes take on Tulsa in a game they should win handily. We'll see how they look on Saturday afternoon.